This program is made possible by the giving of the God-called partners of Renner Ministries. Get ready for a teaching that feeds your spirit and your mind, where the Word is the anchor in uncertain times, and doctrine doesn't bend to culture. We keep it simple, but dive deep, revealing a truth that strengthens us, a love that emboldens, and a mission that touches the world. Let's join Rick Renner.
Welcome to today's program. My name is Rick Renner, and as you can see on the screen behind me, today we're going to move to the next part of the story, which is when they arrested Jesus and led him to Caiaphas, the high priest, where they literally spit in Jesus' face and played games with him. Wow. Today's teaching is just going to be riveting, and you're going to find out there's so much more to the story than you've ever heard before. This is going to be amazing. But before I get into the teaching, if you need prayer, we want to pray for you. Sometimes I need somebody to pray with me. I can pray by myself, but it's a comfort just to have somebody else say amen or agree with you in prayer. I know what a comfort that is. And if you just wish you had somebody to pray with you, here we are. We're waiting to pray with you. All you have to do is call the number on the screen, or if you want to send an email, the moment it shows up in the e-box, we're going to begin to pray for you. Jesus is going to hear us. We've been talking about Jesus' power all week. He's going to release his power. He's going to do whatever needs to be done. But it would be our highest honor to pray for you. So just call the number on the screen or send us an email. And again, when you call or when your email shows up in the inbox, we're going to pray for you, and the power of God's going to be released to do what needs to be done. But before I get into today's teaching, watch this, and then I'll be right back.
Do you know the story of Easter? The resurrection of Jesus, the empty tomb, and the appearances to the disciples. But did you know that's only part of the story? In Rick Renner's book, Easter, The Rest of the Story, Rick delves into the lesser known details of the Easter story that are often overlooked. Details like who was Pontius Pilate? What really happened to the Garden of Gethsemane? What happened to the temple when Jesus died? What exactly did the disciples witness on that miraculous morning? Why Easter is the absolute defining moment of our faith. When you call or go online right now to order this book for just $45, you will receive this timeless keepsake. With 300 pages of breathtaking illustrations, your family can establish a practice that will enrich your Easter celebrations for generations. Perfect as a gift or to enhance your own holiday traditions. Order Easter, The Rest of the Story today for just $45. Call now or visit Renner.org to order.
In programs so far this week, we have seen the tremendous power of Jesus Christ that was working even at the time of his arrest. Judas Iscariot led 300 to 600 soldiers plus temple police into the Grotto of Gethsemane to arrest Jesus. He stepped forward. He gave Jesus a phony kiss, which was really a kiss of betrayal. And then Jesus stepped forward and addressed all the armed forces and said, "Who are you looking for?" They said, "Jesus of Nazareth." But Jesus answered and said, "I am he." The Greek says, "ego eimi," which means "I am." It's exactly the same words used in Exodus chapter 3 when God said to Moses, "My name is ego eimi, I am that I am." And when Jesus said to those armed forces, "ego eimi, I am," he was declaring who he really was. He was more than Jesus of Nazareth. He was God in the flesh. And it is amazing that when Jesus spoke those words, there was such a release of divine power that we're told in John chapter 18 that all those armed forces fell backward to the ground. It's the picture of them stumbling, staggering, wobbling, trying to resist some invisible force which is coming against them, which is too powerful for them. And as a result, they fall to the ground. The word fall is a form of the Greek word pipto, which means to fall hard to the ground. The word kemai, which means they really hit the deck. The power of God knocked them flat. And then Peter did something very impetuous. When he saw all these men laying on the ground, among them was Malchus, the servant of the high priest, and the public spokesman for the high priest who had said many, many atrocious things about Jesus and the rest of the disciples. And Peter just couldn't resist the temptation. So he reached for a sword, tried to cut off his head, but he was a fisherman, so he didn't know how to use a sword very well. And instead, he lopped off Malchus's right ear. Jesus said, ay, 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 right in the middle of this whole drama, Jesus said, suffer me thus far, which means give me just a minute while I fix this mess. And Jesus laid his hands on Malchus, either regrew the ear or picked up the ear, which was lopped off, and put it back on. It reattached. A miracle took place. And then as they're walking Jesus away, another miracle takes place. Suddenly there's a naked boy with a linen cloth. We read about this in Mark chapter 14. And sometimes people say, well, who is the naked boy in the Garden of Gethsemane? And the answer is found in the words linen cloth. Those words, linen cloth, are the Greek words which describe a burial shroud. This was a dead boy. The Jews customarily buried their dead naked and covered them with a linen cloth. That's how Jesus was buried. But now when Jesus said, I am that I am, and the power of God knocked all those forces flat, the same power which knocked all those forces flat caused a rumbling in a local grave. There were lots of graves there on the Mount of Olives. And a little boy is accidentally raised from the dead. This is what I call an accidental or a periphery resurrection. He comes crawling out of his grave, carrying his burial cloth. Now he's trailing Jesus and trailing the others. And when they saw him, we're told in Mark chapter 14, they said, get that kid. They try to grab hold of him because they don't want another resurrection to be noised abroad. But he escapes. And now they stand there holding the linen cloth, the burial shroud, of a young man just raised from the dead. They must have wondered, who in the world are we arresting? This man has so much power that with mere words, he has knocked us flat. He just regrew the ear on the side of Malchus. He just raised a man from the dead. And that's why it makes it all more amazing that Matthew 26, 57 says, and they that laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. In fact, this was really a big act. They didn't have the power to take Jesus. Jesus had already demonstrated that. Jesus surrendered himself. He allowed them to lay hold of him. If he wanted to stop this whole thing, he already said that he even had the ability to call on 12 legions of angels. That's 72,000 angels. No one had the power to take Jesus. And yet Matthew 26, 57 says they laid hold on him. And the words laid hold mean to seize, to take hold of, to firmly grip, or to apprehend. And in this context, it carries the idea of making a forceful arrest. So now they're acting like they have the authority to take him. And the verse goes on to say, they led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest. The words led him away our translation of a form of the Greek word ago, which pictures, are you ready for this? A shepherd who ties a rope around the neck of his sheep and then leads it down the path to where it needs to go. So now we find these soldiers are pretending like they have power to arrest Jesus. Jesus surrenders. He allows them to forcefully take him. He allows them to wrap a rope around his neck. And now they're leading him like a sheep to where it needs to go. And this really is a fulfillment of something Isaiah prophesied many years earlier. In Isaiah chapter 53, verse 7, it says, he is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. And in this moment in the Garden of Gethsemane, this verse was fulfilled as Jesus surrendered himself and literally allowed them to tie a rope around his neck and lead him like a lamb to his own slaughter. And eventually they led him to Caiaphas, the high priest. So let's look at Caiaphas. Who was Caiaphas and what do we know about Caiaphas? Well, we saw in the previous program, Caiaphas was a Sadducee, a very liberal group of theologians who did not believe in the supernatural. They debunked all the Old Testament stories and miracles. They said it was nothing but legend and fantasy and myth. And they really did not like the ministry of Jesus because his ministry was marked by the supernatural, and they didn't believe in that. And they didn't like Jesus because they saw him as a threat. They saw him as someone out of their control, so they wanted to get rid of him. They were control freaks. And whatever they could not control, they tried to destroy. And as high priest, Caiaphas was responsible for arranging an illegal trial to charge Jesus with a crime that would eventually cause him to be crucified. He charged Jesus with the sin of blasphemy, because Jesus had called himself the Son of God. But when the charge was not provable, Caiaphas eventually delivered Jesus into the hand of Roman authorities, who then found him guilty of claiming to be called the King of the Jews. But in 2 Corinthians 5:21, we're told Jesus never sinned. In 1 Peter 2:22, we're told no guile had ever been found in Jesus' mouth. In Acts 10:38, we find his entire life was devoted to doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. But in spite of the fact that Jesus had done nothing wrong for a temporary period, he was placed into the hand of spiritual vipers in Jerusalem at that time. And we're told in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. And when he suffered, he threatened not. Isaiah said he opened not his mouth, but committed himself unto him that judgeth righteously. That's what you have to do when you find yourself in a difficult position for which you feel like you have no defense. The word committed is a form of the Greek word paradidomi, which means to command, to commit, to deliver, to transmit, to yield, to deliver, or to hand something over to somebody else. Or Jesus, in this moment, when he was truly being treated so unjustly, rather than defend himself, he commended himself, committed himself, delivered himself, transmitted himself, and handed himself over into the hands of the Father's care. And my friends, sometimes that's the only thing you can do. But eventually, a trial took place that night, and the religious leaders charged Jesus with the crime of declaring himself to be the Son of God, and for them, this was blasphemy. In Matthew 26, verse 64, Jesus replied to the religious leaders by saying, "You're right. One day you're going to see me coming in clouds of glory, sitting on the Father's right hand." And when Jesus said that, Matthew 26, 66 says, the high priest ripped his clothes and began screaming blasphemy. And immediately after that, the high priest and his entire entourage began to do the unthinkable. And this unthinkable thing is found in Matthew 26, verses 67 to 68, which says, "Then did they spit in his face and buffeted him, and others smote him with the palms of their hands, saying, Prophesy unto us, thou Christ. Who is he that smote thee?" Well, notice it says, "Then did they spit in his face." The word "they" is plural. It refers to all the scribes and elders who were assembled for the meeting that night, more than 100 of them, and one by one, these so-called spiritual leaders, clothed in all their religious garb, walked up to Jesus and spit in his face. Here is an illustration of it from my book, Easter, the Rest of the Story, an amazing illustration. Spitting in someone's face at that time was considered to be the strongest thing you could do to show utter disgust, repugnance, dislike, or a hatred. And when someone spattered his spit on another person's face, that spit was meant to humiliate, to demean, to debase, and to shame that person. And to make matters worse, the one spitting would get close into the other person's face and spit as hard as he could to make it even more humiliating. And by the time these 100 religious leaders were finished spitting in Jesus' face, the spit was dripping from his forehead into his eyes, dribbling down his nose, his cheekbones, his chin, and even oozing down onto his close. And what makes this scene even more amazing to me is it is likely that Malchus, whom Jesus had just miraculously healed in the Garden of Gethsemane, was among them because he was Caiaphas' assistant. There he was among them, spitting on Jesus after Jesus had just lovingly healed him. And then they did the next thing. They doubled up their fists, all 100 of them, and one by one, they began to hit him violently in the face. Matthew 26, 67 says, "Then did they spit in his face and buffeted him." The word buffeted in Greek means to strike with the fist. It pictures a person who is violently beaten, which means this was not just brutal, this was sadistic. Humiliating Jesus with their spit didn't satisfy them, so now they've doubled up their fists, and their fists have become their weapons, and now they're beating Jesus, spitting on Jesus. And every time they spit on him, my friend, they were spitting on the anointing of God on his life. Every time they struck him, they were leveling a punch against the anointing on his life. They hated Jesus. They hated the anointing that operated through him to such an extent that they even voted to have him executed. And then we read in Luke 22, 63, "And the men that held Jesus mocked him and smote him." Now it moves. Now we find the men that held him. This refers to the temple police, which were working there with Caiaphas and his mob. Now the temple police smote him. The word smote means to hit very hard. The word mocked is a word which means to play games, as to play games with children, for amusing the crowd or impersonating someone in a silly and exaggerating way. For example, this word could be used to depict a game of charades, when someone intends to comically portray someone or even to make fun of someone. And this tells us these guards begin to mimic and impersonate Jesus in front of them. They took a few minutes to turn this nightmarish moment into a stage of comedy at Jesus' expense. They put on a real show, really hamming it up. They pretended to be Jesus as he was ministering to people. Maybe they pretended to lay hands on each other as though they were healing each other, or they laid on the floor and quivered as though demons were exiting them, or they acted as if they had been blind, but now they could see. They were really hamming it up and playing a game of charades with Jesus. And then we're told in Luke 22, 63, the guards smote him, and that word smote depicts the grueling and barbaric practice of beating a slave, a word so dreadful that it is often translated to fillet, such as to flay the flesh from an animal or a human being. And then Caiaphas and his religious mob stepped back in, and we read in Luke 22, 64, "And when they," the religious leaders, "blindfolded him, they struck him on the face and asked him, saying, 'Prophesy, who is it that smote thee?'" The word blindfolded in Greek depicts a wrap or a veil or a garment wrapped around someone, thus hiding his eyes so he can't see. So now Caiaphas, this religious leader with all the scribes and the Pharisees, decided they would play blind man's bluff, and they struck him on the face. The word struck in Greek describes a sting that strikes. They literally slapped him. And after slapping him, they then would say, according to Luke 22, 64, "Prophesy, who is it that smote thee?" It was the equivalent of saying, "Come on, prophet, we've blindfolded you. And without looking, if you're so good at prophesying and knowing things supernaturally, tell us which one of us just slapped you." And then, according to Luke 22, 65, they begin to blaspheme Jesus. "And with many other things blasphemously spake they against him." The word blasphemously in Greek means to accuse, to speak against, to slander, to speak derogatory words for the purpose of injuring or harming one's reputation. And it signifies profane, foul, unclean speech, which means once these religious leaders took the lid off, every foul thing that was hiding in them came to the surface. It was like a monster had been released that they couldn't get back into its cage. In the end, all of this hideous filth and terrible, dark behavior came out of them as they were slapping Jesus, striking Jesus, spitting in his face, treating him so horribly. And if the people of Israel had been allowed to peek into the room that night and seen their revered religious leaders acting in such a way, they would have been so shocked to see them slapping Jesus, spitting in his face, slapping him again and again, and then hearing words of profanity coming out of their mouth. Here they were, all dressed in their religious garb, but inwardly they were rotten to the core. Now, if you ever find yourself in a position where you are being unjustly treated as Jesus was that night, then you have to do what Jesus did. If you can't defend yourself, then you have to commit yourself to him that judges righteously. God is fair. God is just. God sees everything. And my friends, just as Jesus committed himself into the loving care of the Father in those moments when you do not understand what's happening to you and it seems that you have no defense, the only thing you can do is say, Father, I trust you to take care of me. That's what Jesus did, and that is what you need to do. And because Jesus did the right thing, eventually he experienced a resurrection. And my friend, when you do the right thing, God's power will come through for you. Say amen. I'll be back in just a moment.
Are you tired of the same watered-down Easter sermons? Rick Renner has a solution. In his new series, Easter, The Rest of the Story, Rick explores the raw, unfiltered aspects of Jesus' sacrifice. This series is an opportunity to rediscover the profound spiritual significance of Easter and its lasting impact on our lives today. In this powerful 15-part series, you'll learn how many soldiers it took to arrest Jesus, the reality of Judas's kiss of betrayal, the horror of a Roman scourging, the miraculous details of Jesus' resurrection, available in digital or physical formats, starting at just $24. This teaching holds the life-changing revelation found in the details of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, which are the cornerstone of our faith. His death was not just a tragic event. It was a purposeful act of love that fulfilled God's plan for redemption. By taking on the weight of our transgressions, Jesus bridged the gap between sinful humanity and a holy God. Celebrate the gift of forgiveness, grace, and eternal life by ordering this series today. In addition to this series, you can also order the book, Easter, The Rest of the Story. This book brings new meaning to the 2,000-year-old history of our Savior with more than 30 stunning original illustrations. Order Easter, The Rest of the Story for just $45. Don't miss this special offer of the bundle, Easter, The Rest of the Story. Call the number on your screen or go to Renner.org to order. Call or go online now.
Hey, this is Rick Renner, and I am in the production fulfillment part of the Tulsa Ministry headquarters, and I just love to come here and see all these teaching resources. My friends, we send them out by 10,000s every month and every year. It is just amazing, and it's a great honor that anyone would want our teaching. It's very humbling, and I'm very grateful that God is using our ministry and our teaching to strengthen lives around the world, and our partners are the ones helping us to do it. And right now, we're trying to pay off this facility so we can release more funds to taking the teaching of the Bible to the ends of the earth. We've already paid off 84% of our ministry expansion project, but we'd like to finish it. And if you're not a part of the giving team yet, today I want to ask you to join our giving team so we can pay off this facility and release all those funds into taking the teaching of the Bible to the ends of the earth. Well, my friend, today we've been looking at Easter, the rest of the story. Have you learned something new? Today we've seen that Jesus was taken to Caiaphas, the high priest, and Caiaphas, along with his religious leaders, got right in the face of Jesus, as is illustrated here. And they spit in his face and slapped him. It is unthinkable what they did, but they were spitting against the anointing. They were slapping the anointing. But in that moment, Jesus did not utter a word, but simply committed himself into the hands of the Father, whom he knew would take care of him. And Jesus eventually was raised from the dead. And if you find yourself in a position where you feel like you're being treated very unjustly, and there's nothing you can do to defend yourself, that's a moment when you need to say like Jesus, Father, I'm committing myself into your care. I pray that you will defend me and that your resurrection power will flow through me. And my friends, it will. It will. But when we come back, we're going to go to the next part of this amazing story, Easter, the rest of the story. But if you need prayer, please reach out to us. Call the number on the screen or send us an email. And the moment your email shows up in our inbox, whether you call or whether you write, we're going to pray for you. And Jesus is really going to do something great for you. And he's going to do something great for you right now because I'm going to pray for you. Put your hand on your heart. Father, I pray that your power and your divine assistance would come to any friend that finds himself in a difficult position. Help them to commit themselves into your care. And I pray, Lord, for your power to flow through them to be what they need to be wherever they are in whatever they're facing. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll see you in the next program. But until then, remember Ecclesiastes 8:4, where the word of a king is, there is power. Hey friends, this is Rick Renner, and Denise and I are coming to the United States for a brief trip, and we want to invite you to come to some of our meetings. On Sunday, April the 19th, we'll be ministering at Vertical Church in West Haven, Connecticut, with Pastors Ken and Kathy Vance. Then on Wednesday through Sunday, April the 22nd to 26th, I'll be speaking at Perry Stone's wonderful 2026 Prophetic Summit in Cleveland, Tennessee. Then on Sunday, May the 3rd, I'll be speaking at Resurrection Life in Granville, Michigan, with Pastors Duane and Jeannie Vanderklok. Friend, if you can come to any of these meetings, Denise and I would just be so thrilled to see you. But please go online or give us a call to make sure none of the dates or times have changed.
If you've never received Jesus as your Savior and Lord, now is the time for you to experience a new life Jesus has to give you. Pray this prayer with me right now. Lord, I repent of my sin and receive you as my Savior and Lord. Wash away my sin and make me completely new. I thank you that my sin is removed and Satan no longer has any right to lay claim on me. I faithfully promise that I will serve you as my Lord for the rest of my life. Amen.
Renner Ministries is proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ through every available media avenue to the uttermost parts of the earth. Discover the many ways you can help us make a difference in lives around the world with the Word of God. We invite you to partner with us in teaching, strengthening, and rescuing lives for the glory of God. Together, we can make a difference that will last throughout eternity. This program was made possible by the giving of the God-called partners of Renner Ministries.